This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It's our final hour of the show. In 60 minutes, you will be in the midst of the MLB All-Star Game pregame show right here on 105.3 The Fan. Expressway's coming up in 20. We'll get you caught up on the entire day in the sports world. It's time now for an edition of The Finest, and here's Eric Chiafalo.
Okay, we got more news in Ninerland today, but I just got a FaceTime video from my wife at my parents' house. Four-year-old is now swimming in the pool. No floaties.
What?
No floaties.
Awesome. Let's go.
She did the swim lessons earlier in the summer. She's been getting around with the floaties, and now looks like Grandpa's got her all squared away.
Heck yeah, Maya.
Floatyless, swimming around.
Good stuff.
Huge day. Big moment.
Congratulations, bro.
Those are anxious moments with young kids around pools. And when you get over that hurdle, it's like, oh, we can relax a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Kid knows how to get back to the edge.
Pretty incredible. Yeah, it's a comforting feeling.
I'm fired up for her.
Especially because I've been dealing with, there's like, you know, those parenting things. It's like, it's not in the parenting handbook. You don't know how to handle it.
No.
And my kids are doing the thing now, the four-year-old and the three-year-old, for some reason, they've caught on. They're doing the choppy thing where they just abbreviate all these words.
Okay.
You know, they're just like shortening everything and they think it's cool. Yeah. The problem is they've just discovered the greatness of peanut butter and they're abbreviating it.
PB.
And it's just, it's you don't know how to react. They're shortening peanut butter in a way that has me uncomfortable. All right. And so now I'm trying to figure out, I don't want to make it a big deal. I don't want to be like, hey, don't say that. But I don't know. These are the conundrums. Right?
These are the conundrums. Yeah.
I let most of those go. I just think it's adorable when little kids mispronounce words. That might be one you need to correct.
That was a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough one right now. I'm like, okay. All right. Let's cool it with the abbreviations. Not every word needs to be abbreviated here. I get the affinity for it. We're going to be drinking.
I remember in fourth grade, I was saying organism wrong in class. A lot. My turn to read. Everybody would laugh. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Am I that bad at this?
Teacher didn't have the guts that she had to pull you aside one day.
My mom did. After she called my dad, hey, come here. Say that again. Read that part right there again. And then I said it. And then she finally told me, it's not that. You're saying it wrong.
Might have an early bloomer on our hands here with Mr. Alexander.
Yeah, dude. That was some foreshadowing. Okay, we have Brandon Ayuk demanding a trade, right, from San Francisco. That happened before we went on the air today. And then you find out that the guy that they drafted basically to replace Brandon Ayuk to some extent, Ricky Pearsall,
pretty darn good.
He's now being placed on the non-football injury list. So things get a little bit more fuzzy in the wide receiver room of San Francisco. I don't see Ayuk going anywhere unless the team really decides we want him bad enough and we're going to go give at least a first-round pick for him. But the Ricky Pearsall stuff definitely clouds things a little bit for them.
Do they know why it's going on? No, they have not said yet.
At least we know we're not the only one. Like the Scooney's not the only one that does this kind of stuff. Where you haven't done anything in the NFL and you're going on non-football injury list to start your career in camp. You know, so it brings some comfort there, I would say. But that's the news with the 49ers. And then, you know, we actually have some good college football stuff going down right now. And we had mentioned yesterday Nick Saban struggling to get in.
Yes.
To the SEC Media Days, forgetting his credential. The one place in America right now where we seem to have some top-notch security. That's where they want to go ahead and do it, not letting Nick Saban into a college football conversation. But you have Kirby Smart, head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, talking about here how just weird and different it is having Nick Saban as a media member. And here's Kirby Smart.
It's weird. I mean, the call I did to set up for this media days was like, I was like nervous. I was like, for 15 minutes, I'm going to share with him about my team. I feel like I'm giving answers to Darth Vader or something. So it's very different.
Yeah, I can understand that. This doesn't feel right. I'm giving away all my secrets here. Like, as Nick said, this is actually not a bad ploy if you're saving. You go get some tidbits for a couple of years, and then you re-enter into the college football landscape trying to figure out.
Big issue, because he's still employed by Alabama. He's a consultant there with the Crimson Tide. If I were one of these coaches, I would not at all want to be giving any information to Nick Saban whatsoever. He is an employee. He's employed by the school right now.
Insider trading?
Yeah, Kirby's playing it right. You're going to give him just canned answers that you would give that he could read in the newspaper. Yeah.
He can go over to Kalen DeBoer and say, hey, this is exactly what I just heard from XYZ coach in the SEC. Be prepared.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of coaches that would talk to him anyway, but probably talk to him about not their own program, but other programs. You know, with, hey, this is what I'm seeing at, you know, this is what I'm seeing at Georgia, or this is what I'm seeing at Tennessee, or you're probably not going to have, you know, him and Lane Kiffin. I don't know how much Lane Kiffin might tell him everything about Ole Miss. You know, they have that kind of relationship. Kirby, similar relationship, but yeah, I'd be very mindful if I was still,
don't tell too much,
still dealing with him. He's going to find that he's going to find that's going to happen to him a lot. You know, people are going to want to be honest with him, but in reality, they really can't.
Yeah, it's until like, trust me, don't trust me.
Right, like until he detaches himself completely from Alabama, it's kind of tough.
We got a quote from Eli Drinkwitz, head coach for the Missouri Tigers.
Yeah.
He was describing one of his players, Caden Green. I don't know if you guys have studied this dude or if you're excited about his NFL prospects.
Not yet, but Mizzou has several studs that are going to be coming out.
Well, this guy, Caden Green, this is the quote from his head coach, Eli Drinkwitz. Quote, Caden Green has STIs.
What's that?
Size, toughness, and instincts. I mean, what else would it be, Dawson?
Gosh, we need to add that into our repertoire.
Everything's got to be abbreviated.
It's an STI, right. Damn it.
Somebody sent me a message the other day and said, hey, let me get you on the GCal. And I'm like, the GCal? He's like, yeah, Google Calendar. Where have you been? I'm like, GCal.
What?
Okay, I'm going to hit your GCal then.
All right, let's GCal.
I haven't heard that one. And then how about this, dude? This is going to ruffle some feathers. Teams will not be penalized for throwing horns down this season.
That's an SEC rule.
That's SEC stepping up saying, come on, we're not doing this. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be disillusioned into thinking this is some hugely disrespectful obscenity hand gesture that we have to file under like a middle finger or something. Give me a freaking break, dude. Welcome back to reality. College football, SEC, bravo to you. Standing ovation. And I'm sure, is Bennett upset about this? Is he texting you all his Longhorn buddies are so butthurt about this right now?
Down to us.
He expects it everywhere he goes.
Hell yeah, of course. That's college football.
Part of it, yep.
You got to keep the old guys out, you know.
To this day!
They come up with some crazy ideas. Yeah. They prevented us from having NFL celebrations for decades, you know. The old guys will ruin a sport now in the name of respect.
No fun league.
Yeah,
it's just like that when Joe Buck saw in real time the fake mooning from Randy Moss and he was beside himself, just super disgusted with what was going on. That's his biggest regret.
As his career. Be.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
You know that you said about the Nick Saban for getting his credential? Did you hear about the Tiger? I know the Tiger Woods with Montgomery, with Colin Montgomery and all that. What's going on? He also got stopped at the Open Championship, like going in the gate. He didn't have his pin that he's supposed to wear. And the guy goes, I'm sorry, you can't get in here. And Tiger Woods just looked at him and he said, come here. He walked him over and there was this huge billboard with Tiger Woods' picture and his name on it. He goes, that's my credential. And he just went straight in.
That's incredible.
He put his arm around the guy and goes, come here.
Yeah.
And he walked him over and goes, see that billboard?
Tiger Woods.
It's big old Tiger Woods swinging. He goes, that's my credential. Yeah.
You see that guy? You recognize that guy right there?
That's me.
Yeah.
How about the Tiger Woods energy right now, dude? He's not dealing with anybody's BS.
He's not.
But that's not the guy. Like Nick Saban in a college football venue, Tiger Woods at a golf venue. That's not the time to be Mr. Do-It-All, try-hard security dude when you're checking people in. Right? I mean, that's like, oh, it's Tiger Woods. Get on in here, dude.
I tell you.
High five. Maybe give him a little fist.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, let me cut through last night at in the parking area. I went into an area that I could have. He says, no, you have to go around. I said, sir. And he goes, all right, Brian, just cut through here and take a ride up there, you know. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Kind of a thing. So sometimes people will let you go. Sometimes they'll let you go.
Nick Saban, Tiger Woods, Brian Broaddus.
I'm just saying, man. Hey, sometimes you catch somebody that's helpful. That's all.
Every
I'm
once
saying.
In a while.
Every once in a while, you some catch a helpful guy there. Or gal out there.
Yeah. Old man Paul Feinbaum still has his fastball working, boys. He's at SEC Media Days.
He's a legend.
He's fighting with a lot of people.
Listen to him just tear to shreds Lincoln Riley. This is talking about how Lincoln, when he heard the news a couple of years ago at OU that they were trying to get to the SEC, he was like, get me out of the SEC and anything. Get me to California as quickly as possible. Here's Paul.
What did Lincoln Riley do? He ran away. He did not want to deal with the Southeastern Conference at OU. He took what he thought was an easier course, so he goes out to Southern Cal. He takes Caleb Williams. Good first year, but since then, everything has gone wrong. I thought last year was one of the worst coaching jobs I have ever seen. Quite frankly, had I been the athletic director at Southern Cal, I would have fired Lincoln Riley because he's yet to show, after many years as a head coach, he knows anything about defense. He's gone through defensive coordinators. He just simply couldn't handle it. And now things are going to be 5 times worse in the Big Ten. On top of that, a number of his top players are bailing out. This is a guy who owned L.A. for about a half a minute, and quite frankly, next year at this time, I think he'll more than likely be an assistant in the NFL if he's that lucky.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome. Hey,
he's dropping a lot of truth in that. Not a good job. His defense has always stunk. He kept Alex Grinch there way too long, and he certainly did run away from the SEC.
I mean, I don't know if that's the only reason you would want to leave. Like, no disrespect to Norman, Oklahoma, or any of their alumni. I'm sure that's a cherished place in your memory. And maybe it was for Lincoln Riley at one point. But you start talking about getting out into a different climate, enjoying what Southern California has to
USC's
offer.
He's got a lot to offer, no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. You know, he hasn't made life easy on himself. And, you know, since he left OU, it's been really tough. But, I mean, you win with, like, 3 different quarterbacks. I'd say there's a lot of track record. And at SC, he was fighting an uphill battle from the time he stepped on campus compared to the momentum he was dealing with at OU. I don't know how you could have all that success and, you know, just be thrown out like that for Feinbaum.
Well, shout out to the Tolo Longhorn fans because they're chiming in right now on the Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line. 682 as a Longhorns fan. I welcome the horns down.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, yeah.
It's I don't think Texas people care.
It puts a little juice in it.
Well, then who's the one that was like such a stickler about this? Who made this a thing? Then if all their fans are going to claim that it doesn't bother them and everything's
I
fine,
think
like,
I think there's some fans.
I think it was the Big 12, wasn't it?
I think there's some fans that bothers.
Your organization's terrible. Yeah.
I think the conference made it a thing.
Yeah.
Well,
I got an update on Ricky Pearsall, by the way.
Oh yeah, non-football injury.
Yeah, it's a hamstring.
Okay.
He had a minor hamstring tweak from training last week. My report is he'll be fine for practice, they say, next week. So
he's good.
Get going. But it's a hamstring problem.
Perhaps a false alm.
Quit freaking out with
Brandon IU. I just want the Niners to start falling apart at the seams, dude. I want everything. I want them to just
They say it'll be fine. It's a hamstring. It'll be 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Get ready. I mean, every time they say it'll be fine, it's not fine.
Might get reaggravated.
Yeah. The Cowboys could have a great year, I think, you know, if you can bring the field down just a little bit. And step one is, you know, reducing San Francisco's firepower.
Well, you know, as soon as they suffer an injury, they're just not going to win. So.
Right? If you could get rid of one thing really in San Francisco, what would you get rid of?
Trent Williams.
Kyle Shanahan. Debo.
Yeah. I think maybe Shanahan might be the reason.
Why? They lose Debo or they lose Trent Williams. They're not winning.
That's a good point.
So Kyle Shanahan's there.
Yeah.
That's always been his thing. He does not mask any injury deficiencies whatsoever.
They looked pretty beatable before Christian McCaffrey, too. You know, I think of those three guys.
Yeah. They had their quarterback get hurt, and they went on a pretty big run with a no-name dude.
Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's turned out to be pretty good. I mean, that is dealing with an injury and overcoming it in a huge way at the most important position.
Yes, so the first time that he's done that.
Okay, and he did it all the way to the Super Bowl.
That was great. But I think we've seen plenty of times they lose a left tackle, they lose a quarterback, they lose a wide receiver, a running back, and they have fallen apart. They have not been the same team.
Happens to a lot of teams. Yeah. You know, you lose a star player, but man, his track record's pretty impressive.
You don't want to give McCarthy that type of credit for what he did with Cooper Rush.
What? Yeah, I do. It was a great four. It was a four-game thing where your defense carried you. Yeah,
but do we care? No, we don't.
That's a four-game sample size where your defense was playing out of this world, limiting teams like 10 points.
So he finally found a good quarterback. I think Brock Purdy deserves credit for that.
Okay, that's fine. But so does Kyle Shanahan.
I didn't see him do it with the Beathards and the Mullins.
Nobody is. Where are those guys now? They're flipping burgers
somewhere.
They were
drafted higher than the seventh round of Purdy.
He did it with Garoppolo, too.
Yeah, well, Garoppolo.
That's a pretty good point.
Hey, there you go.
Thank you.
That was a hell of a rebuttal
game
right
set
there.
Match.
Garoppolo.
And I'm getting my ass hammered.
We're good. There's your finest for the day.
Yes, sir. All right. It's time for the Expressway. We are now just 43 minutes from MLB All-Star Game pregame. We're back to set you up with everything that's been developing throughout your broadcast day. We did get an answer on why the anthem was so bad, and that'll lead the Expressway next to the nation.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, Nation. Woolchuck's going to get you a proper round tripper. We'll go all the way to the top of the hour. The Expressway brought to you by the on-time experts. The MLB All-Star Game pregame is coming up at 6 o'clock. Nation is also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your vehicle today at carsforkids.org. Yeah, the talk of the afternoon, resolution of one of the worst anthems we have heard in sports history. Maybe only second worst to Roseanne Barr. Like, what's the worst national anthem we've ever had at a sports game?
I think it's our horse racing guy, Lucius.
Yeah, the Rockets were there.
That's right.
Yeah, that one was really
kept,
bad.
Kept, like, missing the words and then repeating them and...
Yeah.
Man, that guy, and he was sober.
He needed Mo Cheeks. He needed a Maurice Cheeks, a great basketball coach, to step in there for him. Well, we got an explanation on this one, Woolchuck.
We did Fergie. I think, didn't she have a horrible one at the NBA All-Star game?
Yes, awful. Hilarious.
I remember, like, way back in the day, they brought in Carl Lewis, the great sprinter to do it.
Yeah.
And he did not have a great singing voice, and then his voice, like, cracked.
And the rock is regular. Oh, then he said, uh-oh.
Oh, no. That's a great uh-oh. Jim Rome has used that uh-oh on his show for decades. There's a handful. There's 10 or so. But as far as, like, from a professional singer, and I don't know if that applies to Fergie or not, but this one definitely did. So we got an explanation. And shortly after I sat down back there in the bullpen getting ready for the show, Chief walked in and said, "Did you hear? She just posted she's going into rehab."
Yes. That's how bad that was.
Yeah. Yes, the country singer Ingrid Andress. Apologizing. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans in this country I love so much for that rendition. Embarrassing for a lot of people. A representative for Andress said there will be no additional comment at this time. The 32-year-old, the daughter of former MLB strength and conditioning coach Brad Andress, who worked for the Tigers, Rockies, and New York Mets. So there was a lot of tie-ins there. Can't believe nominated for 4 Grammys, including Best New Artist in 2021. And you talk about the ultimate backfire. Nobody's trying to check out those records today if for any other reason than, you know, seeing what maybe she sounds like when she's not completely hammered. I don't know. Awful early in the day if you are, you know, a 9 to 10 on the intoxication meter. I feel like there's a lot of rock stars that get out there and sing, like, with a very healthy buzz. You know, maybe even they do some of their best work, some of their best singing.
I mean, 682s, it was like, you know, Whitney was on crack and sang Lights Out.
Oh, come on.
You know,
on
no
now.
Excuses.
Stop it. Stop
that might be the best national anthem ever, you know, speaking of Whitney.
They should always have that just ready to go.
She didn't do crack. She said crack was whack.
Okay.
She was too rich for crack.
All right.
Pick that up.
Okay.
You see what she's saying?
Yeah.
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 Just she preferred the soft version.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. What would you guys have done? Should they have pulled? I mean, it didn't get really bad until maybe halfway through it when she missed a word.
I mean, I would love to know what she looked like, like, sort of walking out to her spot. Was she stumbling? Because she doesn't give off super drunk girl, you know, obnoxious all over the place, falling over herself, you know, overconfidence. Like, she was a bit bashful.
I hear you on that.
I think it's her responsibility, actually.
Okay, so you flipped on this. You were blaming MLB.
No, MLB has an issue. I wish Chuck Morgan would have jumped in there and thrown out something. You know,
just pull that mic down, and here we go. Get the trumpet guy from the Cowboys.
Exactly.
In here.
Something, yeah. But I mean,
everyone's probably just in, like, disbelief.
Everybody should have a Whitney button ready to go. If this is going to go haywire, we'll just replay hers.
There's a certain responsibility of hers as a performer. Like, listen, guys, I'm sorry to do this to you. I'm hammered. I can't go out there and sing. I'm sorry. Yeah. This is not going to go well. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well then every press box has a rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. And I believe that they could have just, you know, okay.
Absolutely.
And oh, they definitely could
have just got John
Please
Little
remove
out there.
Your hats. And, you know, we've seen God Bless America in the seventh inning. You know, I mean, there's things to work around this, but
did Fisher, the crowd have helped her out a little bit? Maybe everybody in unison.
No, I just, you know, play it.
Yes.
Play the version of it without the words. Everybody sing and then you move on. But I think it's her responsibility to say, listen, I'm sorry. I can't do this. I'm so drunk now.
Sometimes when you're intoxicated, you don't know, right?
I've been in that stadium drunk and not
her agents, her team. I mean, if that was the case, 817 saying she practiced three times earlier in the morning, the afternoon sounded the same. They worked the field crew all day. But if you have an alcohol problem, she could have been drunk the entire day.
They're saying it sounded the same?
Okay, this is interesting because I've heard before of like recording it in the morning or recording like our trumpet guy practice, record it and then use that in case something happens live. So you have that ability.
She could just like lip sync it or whatever.
Yeah, you could lip sync it or whatever. But to me, if she's practicing and it's that poorly, then man, something else is up here.
Said, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Could this be good for business though at some point for her?
I think so.
We all love a comeback
story. A lot more
people
know her name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, comes out of rehab, pops out a nice little summer ditty, and boom, she's back.
I don't think you survived.
It could be an end.
It's fascinating that it was struggling throughout the day.
That to me,
that's just a text that came in.
Okay.
That might have been a stadium worker, or somebody that was.
Because they usually practice this. I mean, we get there for the pregame show, and Freddie's hitting the horn. You know, I mean, nobody's in the stands and they're practicing it and they're probably recording it or they're playing it over the speakers to make sure it doesn't glitch.
Okay, I believe Lucius has brought up a recent one of her songs out here. So this is what she could sound like when she's doing it right.
You can buy a present any day of the week.
So there's like a Melissa Etheridge or like Janis Joplin kind of gravelly roughness to her voice. Mm. Maybe that's just studio work. You know, maybe that's mic processing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the auto tuning or the post production on songs. Because, I mean, that flies right there, absolutely, as a.
Wishful drinking.
Oh, this is a banger.
That song is about drinking.
Yeah.
Sounds great here.
Have you guys ever been in the midst of doing like some sports radio while cracking a few? And instead of it making you loose and fun, all of a sudden you get in your own head, like, oh no, I just stumbled over that word.
No.
Now I'm
no. Yeah,
now
one time
I'm, now I'm overthinking
Daddy's
it and drunk.
In Mansfield, I was like, you know what? I think I might, this Johnny Walker that I've just consumed through a raw hot dog or whatever it was.
Straw dog.
It's hitting pretty hard right now. And I was on soda and not eating anything. I think I am way too hammered.
See, I think I would experience that like maybe 1 out of 10 times. And I'd think, well, maybe I should stop, you know, drinking on air. And then, you know, the next day would happen. I'd be like, man, we need some cold beer up here. But I think that's possible. You're in a completely different environment. You look up in the crowd. You're at the baseball game. And all of a sudden that energy maybe you have in the studio or up on stage is totally different. And, you know, the biggest, I think maybe the biggest rock bottom we've seen from somebody with a drinking problem in a long time since that LT interview.
I said stars
every time. Yeah,
maybe that threw her off.
Oof. What do they say?
This isn't the first time a national anthem performance has been panned. In the pantheon of controversial rendition to the national anthem, Roseanne Barr's performance in the 1990 Padres game and Fergie's 2018 NBA All-Star game received similarly negative reactions.
See, Roseanne wasn't trying. She wasn't trying. On the list. These other two were trying. Fergie and this lovely lady. Yeah.
So tonight we're getting Texas native Cody Johnson. He's scheduled to perform the national anthem. So
and they're drug testing him right now. Hey, Cody. Major League Baseball here. Would you pee in this cup, please?
Yeah, don't serve Cody tonight. At least not before the anthem.
I think it'd be hilarious if Cody did come out with like a bottle of Jack.
He's like, guys, I'm hammered.
Hold it up to the crowd, give it a pull, and then go for it.
Pour one out for my girl.
Okay, so that she said, I'll let you know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun.
Oh.
Wow. So best of luck to her.
Yeah.
NBA legend Magic Johnson, who shared an emotional statement on Kobe Bryant's father, Joe Jellybean Bryant is going viral. I'm devastated to hear the loss of my friend Joe. He was not only a talented basketball player, also a great coach. A lot of people don't know that he coached the LA Sparks in 05, 06, and 11. He says Joe was also an exceptional human being, a radiant smile that had the power to brighten any room, and a great husband and father. Cookie and I praying for his wife, Pam, daughter Sharia, and Shia, and the rest of the Bryant family, friends, and all those who love Joe. Yeah, it's a tough one right there for the Laker family.
69 years old, I believe.
Yeah, and I know, fans of Kobe.
Whoa.
Nico Harrison over the weekend, maybe this was yesterday, Clay is going to be the Mavs' starting small forward. Not a big surprise at this juncture. I do think it's important that as the season goes on, he holds that spot. You know, last year, Derrick Jones Jr. wasn't the presumed starter, but... You know, I think if Klay Thompson gets beat out, it's probably not a great sign. At that point, I will be taking a look at that that wreck game footage that went viral yesterday in a completely different light. Chief, I was on vacation. What did you think of this signing and what the Mavs played to bring him in and the role they have in mind for him?
I mean, I liked it. I liked it for sure. I thought they were going to have to pay more money to get him when you see what the final contract numbers and everything looked like. It seemed like a contract that you could see aging much better than you thought it was going to be if it was going to be like $75 million over 3 years instead of 50. So that was the first thing. But I think offensively, this dude is going to be exactly what the Mavericks were missing in the finals, which is a floor spacer and a guy who can just knock down open threes. And he should be getting a ton of those from Kyrie and Luka, benefiting from them. And it's just a much more defined role for him in this offense. They're not going to be asking him to do too much. I think the idea of him being number 31, he's embracing his Reggie Miller era. I'm just a three-point shooter, dude. I'm not going to be doing anything. I'm not going to be trying to dribble the ball. I'm not going to be trying to get to the rack and create my own mid-range jumpers or whatever. I'm just a catch and shoot guy. I can still move without the ball. But if you're gonna get all up on him and not give him any space, then Luka and Kyrie are gonna be dancing all over you. So I think offensively it's fantastic. There's obviously questions defensively here.
Yeah.
And thank God they brought in Najee Marshall to replace Derrick Jones Jr. So it's not like you lose Derrick Jones Jr. and all you really do is bring in Klay Thompson, because now you've gotten tremendously worse defensively. Yeah. So I think you're asking Klay Thompson to guard the second or third best player on most teams. Hopefully he's capable of doing that. But I think what he gives you offensively will make up for the lack of defense. So overall, I liked it.
Yeah, I like the role that Ray Allen had with Miami. When Ray Allen was in his prime, mostly with the Seattle Supersonics and then a little Boston Celtics, he could dominate a game. He could come down Broadway and jam in your big man's face, and you know, was a tremendous athlete in his, you know, early to mid-20s. And by the time, you know, he was with the Miami Heat, it was like, hey, I'm going to make a crap load of threes for you. And if that's all that Klay does, you know, to have that level of floor spacer with the components they already have, the two pick and roll guys, I do believe it's going to be a return trip to the finals. The Raiders receiver Davante Adams, his agents have shut down rampant rumors and reports throughout the day that their client, the three-time All-Pro, potential future Hall of Famer, was on the trading block. They say it's baseless, unfounded speculation. Davante is expected to be with the Raiders, as there's been absolutely no trade talk, period. I can't imagine why you would not want to fuel that a little bit. But I think being close to home, you know, playing for the organization that he grew up cheering for is massively important. And, you know, how each, you know, to each their own, I suppose.
Dude, but on this receiver show, I mean, he is clearly unhappy. And how could you not be?
Unhappy,
I mean, he's talking about how, what's it, Jimmy Garoppolo was just getting him killed every game. He's like, I've never been hit this much in my life.
F out of here, yes. But there's a lot of rumors about the Jets stuff. I just don't see how it's going to happen contract-wise. I don't know how they can make it work.
Brian, Missouri coach Elijah Drinkowitz. Eli. Hall of Fame is incomplete without Mike Leach is one of the takes that he had today at ACC Media Days. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Mike Leach, he was such an innovator of the game and such a great personality as well. And I know it's just percentage points away from being that way. And, you know, unfortunately, though, I mean, the fact that they have to go through all this, because I think Mike Leach naturally, you know, if he was still with us, would find a way into the Hall of Fame. But, you know, they have these standards they have they go by. But, man, I would love to see Mike Leach, for all the things that he's done for college football, to be a part of that.
Yeah, me too, man. And he had to have, just as an architect and all the points that they put up, deserve
incredible.
It,
incredible.
Right?
When you talk about offensive football, the history of offensive football, I know that Emory Ballard is, you know, when you start, he was famous for the wishbone. you know, you look in the 70s and the 80s, and then the run and shoot offense with Mouse Davis, you know, Portland State. I mean, there's some guys that really advanced football, and Mike Leach was one of those guys. Hal Mumme was another one. When you start to talk about offense and air raid, spread offense, all the things you see nowadays in offense, these guys were the forefront of that.
Didn't have a Mouse Davis reference on my bingo card today, but
how about that? You remember Mouse, though, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. They talk about him like you know, he's got it.
Run and shoot guy. Yeah.
Neil Lomax.
Yep.
I think threw 6 touchdowns in one quarter at one point. Yeah. Okay.
Barack Obama.
We have coming up at 6 o'clock is the MLB pregame. Wolchuk's going to get you a proper round tripper brought to you by Uber Eats in just a second. But I look up at the clock, and I'll be damned if we don't have time for 60 seconds on soccer. Mbappe officially on Real Madrid. The French superstar was formally presented to fans in a ceremony at the Bernabeu Stadium. Addressing the crowd in Spanish, Mbappe said, "I dreamt for many years about playing for Real Madrid, and today that dream comes true."
Bueno.
5-year deal worth $16 million a year. Oh, that's after taxes.
Yeah, a lot of taxes going on there.
Leo Messi out at least the next 2 games for Miami after sustaining the injury in the Copa America final, which Argentina still did manage to win.
Did you see how big his ankle was?
Yeah, it was blown.
It was nasty. I thought I was looking at a picture of your gout foot for a second, Broadus.
That felt like gout foot looking at you, right.
Yeah, unbelievable that he played through that for a while.
Yeah, he got hit twice.
Ooh, he rolled the hell out of that thing.
Yeah. The second one got him bad?
Yeah, I think he got spiked once, and then the other one,
they hack him
good.
A lot.
Yeah, well, that game was a hack fest.
Yeah.
I'll pass on that. I
on and off the pitch.
Yeah. Okay, Gareth Southgate leaves as manager of England after their heartbreaking defeat in the final 6 minutes of the Euro final. England apparently wanted to keep him through the World Cup in 2026, but he decided, "I've had enough." Held the job for 8 years.
That is amazing because that team appears to be very close to being a World Cup championship team. I know they lost the Euros, but, man, now they have to take a totally different direction with 2 years left.
Yeah,
into their plan. But wow, that's big.
Yeah, well, maybe that's where Mr. Liverpool is going to head after saying no to the USA. Maybe that's a match made in heaven. It's time now for Zach Wolchuk to take us around the bases. Brought to you by Uber Eats. Here he is, Zach.
Let's do it. Most bet tickets to hit a home run in tonight's All-Star game. You've got Shohei Ohtani at +450, followed by Aaron Judge, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bryce Harper, and Teoscar Hernandez at +900. Hey, the long shot odds for Teoscar Hernandez win the Derby. Those ended up cashing in
buddy.
A big, big way.
Got me paid last night.
That's a tough one, though, because you're talking about like one at bat for all these guys.
I know. That's a
you're
tough
like, who's going to get.
You got to bet on Ohtani because every time he plays in this ballpark, he's like 12 of 14 in a series.
He does hit well here.
Yeah.
That's very, very true. 24% of the money is on Paul Skeens to win the MVP tonight. That's the most of any bet player.
Broadus has his money on that, too.
A little side bet on Paul Skeens here.
Skeens is at +2,800. Shohei Ohtani is at +900. He's the favorite. Aaron Judge at +1,000, followed by Bryce Harper, Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto. You get Bobby Witt Jr., though, at +2,000. I do like those odds. I'd throw some cheddar there on Bobby Witt Jr. Shout out to the rideshare drivers out there. They are cashing in big over All-Star Weekend. There was an interview done by the Dallas Morning News that we've had people drive in from Lubbock just to go ahead and earn like double the amount they would make. Over
hustlers, dude.
And, like,
I love that.
Here at the All-Star game. So tonight, big night for the rideshare drivers.
Is this the same type of, you know, when it's like NBA All-Star time and ladies are getting flown out from everywhere? We had that happen here for the MLB All-Star?
Yeah. There's cleat chasers in the city, for sure. And I say that respectfully. I understand your job, what you have to do out there, cleat chasers. So I don't want to degrade your name by it, but yeah, they're out there.
Cool. Can we have a Drea sighting, maybe?
Well,
she's NBA.
I don't think she's taken care of, right?
Yeah.
She's already.
Yeah, she's got her a young boy right now in the NBA. What's his name? I can't remember.
Oh, Jalen Green?
Yeah. She's got her a little young boy right now.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Watch out for those snipers.
If you're looking for LA Live 214, we did it an hour ago. We're off at 6 tonight. So just moving some stuff around a little bit.
Go back and listen to it, though.
We got Adrian Beltre throwing out the first pitch tonight at the All-Star game as he gets set to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. So that's going to be fun. I know Adrian's going to get himself a big-time ovation.
ESPN's doing their top 100 athletes since the year 2000 list, and they're kind of doing it like 10 players at a time or whatever. I saw Beltre was like number 52 or whatever.
That's awesome.
They have him and like in all sports.
Yeah.
He was incredible.
Yeah.
Like a top 55 dude.
I mean, the amount of votes he got was a historic percentage to be elected. So, Beltre, well deserving. What are you giggling? What's going on the television?
I've watched the television.
Are you making fun of Paul Skeen's girlfriend again? No, is that what you're doing?
They're interviewing Manfred.
Manfred.
And I think about him drinking with that lady singing the anthem.
Yeah, he also my had those issues.
Remember him when he tried to
help? I'll never forget it, dude. I'm going to go try and find it right now, see if we can pull it up, because it's hilarious.
I wonder if he's like he's the guy that was responsible for getting her out there yesterday.
Oh, man. While you do that, okay, we had Jared. This was on Sunday. We had somebody complaining about Adolis Garcia and the offense. And
Adolis?
It's been a while since
Adolis.
It's been a while since we've had Jared go off on a caller. This wasn't like one of the all-time greats, but it was pretty good. Here's the back and forth with Jared and said caller.
Well, like, this is such a what have you done for me lately take. Because yeah. the Rangers since June 29th has been the second best offense in baseball.
Come on. Season, they were what, five games? They were producing five runs a game, but then there was a dramatic dip, bro. There was
Ash,
a dramatic
I get that,
dip.
But you still have not answered my question, which is who are you not going to put in the lineup every day?
Have you seen what Adolis is doing? I mean, are you benching
Adolis Garcia?
Ash,
if you are, that's fine.
I'm putting him at DH or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's batting what 212, 215?
Ash, is Adolis Garcia? If you be a man here, say it. If you want to say it, say it. Adolis Garcia should not be an everyday player for this team. Is that what you want to say?
I'm not that bold. I'm not
okay.
I'm not bold
All right.
Say that. But can you admit that there are some things that need to be worked out?
Absolutely. But Ash, my point is that you kind of have to rely on the guys you have at this point.
This sounds like
Sean would have hated that guy.
This sounds like me and Woolchuck at like 12:30 at night after a Cowboy game.
About people bitching to bitch.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that was a full Mount Sandler eruption.
No.
It was close, though.
It was good.
I mean, if Ash wasn't going to start conceding.
That's what I'm saying. I've done the same thing. Like, are you saying that? Say it. If that's what you mean.
You don't like the quarterback, then just say it.
Just say it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I understand. I've been there.
Yeah.
The idea of complaining about the bat of Adolis Garcia and then just making him your DH, though.
Yeah.
Ash, he's batting
212. Okay, you want to take him? No. I don't have the balls to do that yet, but DH him, you know?
You don't want his cannon arm still in right field?
Jeez.
Hey, here's the Manfred sound. This is when we had the COVID Globe Life Field Dodgers championship.
World Series,
and this was him celebrating
into himself,
handing over the trophy.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
We got an excellent green room here at our ballpark.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish we would have got the Instagram screenshot of him saying, "Sorry, guys, I'm going to be going to rehab now."
Man.
Does that maybe speak to the acoustics? Maybe that throws you off a little bit. You're hearing the echo.
That's what his excuse was.
Didn't screw with Scott Strapp and the
Creed,
the Creed boys.
Certainly did not.
Absolutely. Or for that matter, her from the World Series.
She was fantastic.
Her national anthem was incredible.
Sing the national anthem, and it's been fine. And I don't think CY had an issue accepting. You know, anytime they did the DS. They went ahead. We saw them celebrate the Orioles series.
Yeah.
They're talking on the field. They're going to the ALCS. CY is talking fine. We got our owner out there doing his thing. So, I don't know. This was a Manfred isolated issue here in my
Led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
Man, that sounds like awesome.
Yeah, sounds like he's the third Diaz brother.
Yeah.
When I saw him get interviewed, I thought of him and that whole thing, and then
he's
I thought
punch
of
drunk.
Yeah,
he is punch drunk.
Oh, man.
That's amazing.
By the way, I did see reports that apparently Rob Manfred was ready to step in and do something about the thing. No, not for singing
or mixed
last
drinks
night,
for everybody.
But if they were not going to have Skeens start for the NL.
No, he was going to force
he
him
was
to.
Allegedly going to step in and be like, no.
Yeah.
Skeens, get that stash on the bump.
Skeens needs to be out there. Come on, let's do it. Okay, asking the All-Stars, they were asking, all right, what's the one thing you'd like to get in Texas for a meal? What are you ordering? Oh. Bobby Witt Jr., who, of course, is from the area.
From the area.
Said, I love good barbecue. Now, he's got to specify, I love Kansas City barbecue as well.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
but also just the food that they provide for us here is amazing. Tyler Anderson said Tex-Mex is always really good.
There you go. Not a bad call.
Clay Holmes, the New York Yankees pitcher, said, I think it's tough to pass up the brisket. There's definitely some good brisket here. Riley Green, Tigers outfielder, I'd probably have to go barbecue. Love brisket, love pulled pork, but the thing is, the Texas toast here is incredible.
There you go.
So if you put the pulled pork on the Texas toast, it makes it so much better.
I've never tried that. I usually just go with the regular bread.
Yeah.
Nah, Texas toast does everything good. Barbecue wise.
It really does.
Onions, pickles, add it all. That's a great vessel that we always talk about. That
now, Texas do we toast. Agree the best Texas toast is out of the freezer section at the grocery store?
Oh, my gosh.
That stuff is a
bread. That's bread. I don't know. Mrs. Baird's is... to me, and you do it yourself. You butter it up and toast it.
Does Mrs.
Baird's,
gotta butter it up, bro.
You butter it up.
Butter both sides.
Does she still have her brick and mortar stores going?
Damn right she does.
Because we used to, field trips, right?
Yeah, I took a field trip there, and it was one of the best times ever.
Walchuk fell in love with the powdered donut.
You kidding me?
The rest was history.
Honestly, it was just like the warm bread. Even that was just
the smell. Oh my gosh,
dude. Oh my God, that is amazing.
We need to make like a Mrs. Baird's candle or something.
Can we get a live show at Mrs. Baird's?
I'd love to do a remote.
If Gwyneth Paltrow can do what she does with candles, why can't we get a Mrs. Baird's version?
What's her scent?
Hers is
underwear.
Is hoo-ha.
Hers is the vagina.
Yep.
I said it. I got balls, Jared. If
like Erykah Badu's, hers is called Badussy.
Wow. Yeah,
I got them balls too, bro.
Yep. Hell yeah, that's my guy, Lucius. We're our own men.
That's an award-winning broadcaster right there. No, I'm good, man. I'm good.
What is it called, Lucius?
Badussy.
It's the Badussy. See that one? I think I would say something else on accident.
I was in the house.
Was it good? Did we really get the mood swing going? How much time we got?
Huffing in the other room.
2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes. Okay, so they also.
What else can you mess up today?
They asked the also. What am I messing up? What? Come on, speak for yourself over there. Did I stutter? If you had to ask one of your all-star teammates for an autograph, who would it be? Who do you think Corey Seager said?
Himself.
Wait, one of his all-star teammates?
He said himself.
Did he?
No, he said he'd ask all of them. He kind of just bypassed the question there. It's typical Corey Seager.
I would say that he'd probably want Judge's autograph.
Okay, so Aaron Judge seems like he is the most popular pick. It's Judge, Otani.
Otani would be good.
The two, but Riley Green did say Bobby Witt Jr. was one that he wanted to go and get. I think Bobby Witt Jr. would be really cool. Out of all
the only answer is Shohei to me.
Like, Shohei would be my number one, I think. And then Paul Skeens. I think I'd go Shohei Skeens. Yeah.
Oh, Paul Skeens. That's right? good call.
Like
yeah.
Skeens would be an awesome one to get right now.
LSU guy.
Heck
what am I thinking?
They asked, what's your favorite ballpark? A lot of them said Globe Life. Huh. They were like this one right here.
The roof's kind of dingy, according to Dawson.
Only from the first outside. Yeah, I think that's objective fact.
Maybe from the outside. Mm. We had a couple people say San Diego.
Don't know where to get that hamburger.
San Diego's beautiful.
San Diego's great.
And then we did have a player say Wrigley.
Oh.
I know you don't like. I don't. I'm you don't not. Like Wrigley.
I'm at the Cubby Bear drinking Dollar Old Style and hot dogs.
Hey, if I want to go to a museum like Wrigley or Fenway, sounds great.
I've never been to Fenway. I'd like to go to Fenway.
Fenway just, definitely would be cool,
just to see.
Yeah, you know, there's tremendous value in that, but like to be committed to have season tickets there and be so cramped, be so packed in. Like the old stadiums are, you know, just a nightmare when they put them into trying to.
Oh, no. You're talking a guy at 1972 sat out here in Arlington on metal benches when it was 108.
You're go down melted. To the Cotton Bowl, you know, until the renovations.
That's terrible. Cotton Bowl, I'm sorry.
It's like a trip through time when, you know, everybody was 5'8".
Yeah, they're all wearing coats and ties and hats.
The Round Tripper brought to you by Uber Eats. The MLB All-Star Game pregame show is now just 5 minutes away. Thanks so much to Lucius Alexander over there in the Pimp Cup. 4 hours of masterful producing, engineering, and hosting.
That 4 hour show is great.
Salute to Carter Freeman as well, coordinating that video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Woolchuck and Shia Follow and Brian brought us. I'm Gavin Dawson. The All Star Game is next. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G Back Nation. At ease.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.